and join us in the fast food.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start our meetings, I wanted to do a moment of silence for Sue Brighter, who we lost the week before last, Irene Davenport. She was a longtime member of the Sue Bright Fire Ladies Auxiliary, a longtime member, resident of Beach Street, and she's had health challenges. So I'd like to just give her a moment of respect, Irene Davenport. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is now called to order. In line with the Borough of Sue Bright's long-standing policy of open government and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting has been sent to the Asbury Park Press and other local newspapers on November 15, 2016. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Council members Birdsall.
Here.
Keeler.
Present.
Kelly.
Here.
Lamia.
Here.
Lexi.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
Okay, before we begin, we invite remarks from the audience. If there's anybody here who wishes to be heard on any issue, we ask you to please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Okay. Pam Ross, 6 Peninsula. I just have a couple of questions. I know I have limited time, so I just took some notes. I know that bonds are approved and issued in various times, but I was just curious as if we could have more of an explanation, because I'm unclear. You know, I'm just learning, like, what are we, you know, like, moving forward, current, what's outstanding. Just have more details. Maybe we can understand that online.
Sure. There's actually the borough's liabilities are available for really anybody who wants to see them. It's in the user-friendly budget. It's a 12-page document that's available on the borough website and the borough document. Our audit report is also online that can give you a sense of the total indebtedness. We have multiple bonds that we've been paying off for at least the last 20 years. One of the payments we just retired, so we could kind of see the extent of it. Tells you the way you read them is there's a resolution number and it has a year, so that tells you what year, or ordinance number, so that tells you what year the bonds were taken out.
Okay, and also what they were used for.
Is the resolution link? I'm not sure that it's evident from the budget document.
You probably, if you have a question, it'll list the ordinance number. The ordinance indicates what they were used for.
Yes, so okay. The council votes on it, and it spells out, like, everything that's being purchased under the bond.
And what's outstanding also? Still outstanding?
D&D. That should be evident from the audit.
Okay, so it gives, like, a total. Okay.
Yeah, and I can point you to the pages.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have repetitive road flooding, and which is a major concern. I was wondering if there's a bond for that.
Repetitive road flooding in which area or everywhere?
Everybody towards the river.
So there's no bond that I'm aware of for road flooding. There was what we call the DIP project that was about 10 years ago. It was a downtown infrastructure improvement project. And that replaced the pipes underground. We made larger pipes underground and also repaved the side streets in downtown. This was several years before Sandy. And then there's the Bulkhead project, but I'm not aware of any borrowing that was taken out for flood control. Are you, Brian? That's your committee.
And how about the sewer lines? Because I know they're pretty old.
Sewer, we're a member of the Two Rivers Sewer Authority. So for the most part, repairs on the sewer line are done through the authority. We do own our own lines, and right now we've been discussing in the process of doing what we call an infiltration study, mm-hmm. because when we compare the amount of gallons that were being billed for that are going into the system versus how many gallons are being consumed by New Jersey American Water, there's a huge gap.
Okay.
So now we're studying to find out where that is, And then also we have a, what you call a five-year capital plan. It's part of the budget document that reflects those goals of flood control.
Okay, thank you. And also I was looking at the list of vouchers and I had a couple questions there, which I'll be brief. I saw there was a fee, well, for GADA, $600. I was wondering what that was for.
There is an annual conference called the League of Municipalities, and that's most, it's where elected officials and people who work in county and local governments.
Okay.
It's an opportunity for them to get their training and CEUs, etc. There's a discount rate offered for conference attendees.
Okay.
And so that those charges to the Borgata are probably the reservations for the Seabright people who are going to the conference.
Oh, okay. So that's like a total, or is that just
the
down?
That would be the total.
Okay. All right. There was a couple legal fees on there, and I didn't know who was for the school and who wasn't. There was D. Francisco Bateman and Cutsman or something. Legal services.
That's for litigation with our the Beach Club's tax appeal.
The Beach Club. Okay. All right. I was just curious. Okay. And then there was another one for $9,000 to Corzio, Bronzeburg and Newmark.
That's the school.
All right, that is a school, because I didn't catch that when I was at the last meeting. Okay, and is there a budget cap on that? Because I know I had that question, and I didn't know if anybody considered saying, okay, after so many years, it's not, you know, working, when are we going to put a cap on it?
Okay, well, I guess, that would be a decision for the governing body to make, is in terms of when it's enough enough. At this point, we haven't even gotten to our court hearing yet, and so I don't think it's, I think it would be premature to pull the plug when we haven't even gotten in front of a judge yet.
Oh, okay. All right. When is that? January? Okay. And another question is, do you think that we can maybe have a meeting about the school, like just have, you know, the taxpayers come together, maybe brainstorm and come up with other solutions outside of what the lawyer is currently doing now?
We have a council committee on education, and I would certainly not want to jump in front of them on that. So if that's a tactic that they want to take, then you know, we welcome that. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much the purpose of the town hall meeting that was held before last, was to tell people what's going on with the school and to be able to answer questions and hear ideas. Councilman Rooney certainly did a great job articulating his goals and vision, what he would like to see happen.
I know there were two suggestions, so how do you follow up on that to see if that could be considered?
I'm not sure which suggestion. I didn't hear any, I didn't really hear any.
There was a man in the front to the left. Well, you're right. And he was suggesting, you know, taking the children out, along with my husband, out of the high school, and looking at that avenue. So I didn't know.
So understand that that's not legally possible. We are members, we're founding members of the Shore Regional
District. No, I understand that.
We can't just simply pick up our kids and leave.
But if we were to fund that outside of what we already pay and talk to the taxpayers and take them out of the school, then we might be able to leave.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't work like that, Pam.
No, because it sounded like the lawyer, you know, didn't disregard that when
we could have zero kids, we still have to pay towards Shore Regional.
Yeah, so you're still gonna, because I thought it was, you know, it's dependent how many high school students were there. Land value only.
Land value plus a ratio of grammar schoolers to high schoolers. It's we had to do an Oprah to get the actual formula. It's a 14-page spreadsheet. The 14-page spreadsheet that Mayor Maria Fernandez got through an open public records request.
Did it take like an actuary to figure it all out?
Yeah, we had to get an actuary.
And that's the actual just mathematical formula?
Like when you like, it's in the spreadsheet, right? With the calculating thing, it's 14 pages.
Is there any way to get like a school status report online also for that? Like as we go along, just to keep us, right, this is what we're spending now this quarter, and it was basically give a summary. Doesn't have to go into detail, but just keep us abreast of things.
We could certainly report that at the council meeting.
Okay.
I think in the bill list today, you'll see what we paid for this quarter.
No, I know, but it wasn't, it didn't give us like a little bit of detail.
$53,581 for this quarter.
No, I'm talking about for, I meant actually for what we paid.
She's talking about what we paid Vito.
Yes.
Oh.
No, I saw it, we're paying. But anyway, let me see what else there was. There was one more question I had, and that was it.
See that?
Yep, I see it clearly. I'm sure I might still be under that.
I think you folks agree with that.
Yeah, a little under.
But, I mean, here's my question of council members. So which one of you signs the legal bills? A council member has to sign off on the invoices.
Okay.
Who signs them? Who signs the legal bills? I don't sign bills.
I sign a lot of them.
Mr. Keeler signs. Mr. Keeler chairs finance.
Yeah.
He's signing the bills. I think he would be a great person for you to touch base with on what we're spending on what. And then I'll try to remember to, you know, keep a running tally.
Okay, and I just had that one quick question. There was a $4,900 payment for gasoline to Wex Bank. Was there anything special for that? Because there was like $5,200 last month that was paid. So I didn't know if there was a special event or...
I don't know if you've seen all the work that we're doing out on the beach.
So that's it. Okay, I was just curious. All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the audience? Remarks from the audience? Let's move on to our regular agenda. First up, we have our consent agenda.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Second.
Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
Next, we have ordinance number 17-2017. We need a motion to adopt.
I'll move to adopt.
Second.
Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
New business, we have payment of vouchers.
I'll second it.
Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
Taking us to council committee reports. First up, we have beach and grants chaired by Councilman Lamia.
Well, beach season might be over, a little chilly this week. But as everybody knows, the seawall, lots of activity, going to get more and more intense. In our weekly meetings, I attend on Monday morning with the team, and what they ask is that we remind residents to stay away from the work areas. There's a lot of big equipment moving, and they, you know, they're moving quick to moving boulders, and they would ask that the residents stay north or south of the main beach if, you know, especially with the, they're bringing their animals. They did ask us to really consider doing something different. People are climbing over the rocks, and the more we talk about it, then they want to come see the rocks. So it's like a double-edged sword. The beach will probably meet in the next 2 weeks to go over what's going on in the town that's going to affect them for the spring, and we'll start looking at what we're going to do next year. Beach got beat up pretty good in the last couple of weeks. We received a lot of inquiries of what can we do about it, and I'm working with Joe on some ideas. We're in progress with it.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have finance insurance report. Councilman Keeler.
He was not able to confer with our finance officer. He's on a special hurricane recovery operation in the Virgin Islands. Apparently, they don't have cell service down there. I guess that's the least of their problems.
Yeah, exactly. The cabanas.
Just at the JIF meeting, we had a claims came in, and it was about a woman who tripped on a broken curb. And we'll go through all the details back and forth. But one of the main points that came out of that was the question, how long has that curb been broken? And is it in such a location that any number of borough employees should have been able to see it and report it? And that was a deciding factor in the settlement, that they thought there was ample opportunity and it wasn't reported, et cetera, et cetera. So I just pass this out of all of our employees. If you see something broken, heavy piece of debris, anything like that, you give a call in, because there's an incident, that's one of the questions they ask. If it's only 24 hours, 48 hours, usually you're okay, but if something's been there for 3 or 4 or 5 days, might go against you. There's a three brochures, they're more than brochures, they're documents, best practices for police, fire, and first aid, and I'd like to meet and talk to the chief and work with the sort of insurance and public safety, work with each other on that. They're very well done, and the GIF is focusing on these as one of the best means for reducing injuries, etc. And our own chief, John Sorrentino, was the one principally responsible for developing the police document, and it reads very well. So I'll get with you, Charlie, and see if we can go over that. The focus in 2018 is going to be on equipment training, and focusing again on the public works and also fire department first aid. And the GIF is taking a lead in this, our GIF, and they're working on documents and proposals that have never been done before. And then when they get them done, they're so well done that other GIFs around the state seem to pick up on it. And that's what they want to do with this equipment training document. They want to come up with something that can be a template for other GIFs. But the main concern they have is a good number of the injuries that come in with public works, people falling off trucks, people doing this, people doing that. So again, I'll get with you as they work on this. And just one final thing, as you're mentioning, John, about all the rocks. This came up some time back in Monmouth Beach. Somebody decided to hop, skip, and jump over the rocks, and they took a bad tumble and were pretty seriously hurt. And went back and forth to Monmouth Beach, actually, if you will, lost in the settlement. The judge ruling it was an attractive nuisance, there should have been some provisions made, et cetera, et cetera. So I talked to the chief, maybe we'll work on whether these areas at least have a rope or closing the area with some signage or something. Because the one in Monmouth Beach they classified as an attractive nuisance.
If you haven't seen, they built like a jetty at the water's edge. I guess it's like they build it there and then later they're going to bring it up to the wall. There's a lot of reason to want to be there. We should think about fencing off or netting off or something, some more than we have right now.
That was the conclusion of that particular case. Other than that, progress, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have personnel, public relations, recreation, chaired by Councilman Lexie.
Great. Happier news with rocks. The Rocks for Kindness thing seems to be taking off pretty well in town. This is the key rock for Seabright, which I have. And I think it's pretty amazing, but basically what it is, I think I described it at the last council meeting. Essentially what's going on is people are painting rocks, hiding them in town, and there was one done virtually for every single business, and a lot of people are now painting their own, and the kids are loving it. And essentially they find the rock, they put it on Facebook, that with them holding the rock, and then the kids get to rehide the rocks, and they just seem to be having a blast with it. So I'm glad that's really taking off very, very well. We have the Halloween festivities will be taking place on October 28th. That will be the trunk or treat again, which we've been doing the last couple of years. The kids have absolutely adored that. Essentially everyone, hopefully everyone on council will participate. I think we all have in the past. Essentially, you make up your car in a costume, you dress up in a costume, you put the candy in your trunk, kids go car to car in the parking lot and are able to get the candy out of the cars. And they love that. It's a substitute for being able to go door to door, which is kind of hard to do in Seabright. We have a very long street. So, and then the EMS will be running the annual Halloween parade immediately afterwards, and there'll be refreshments at the church after the parade, and I think they're giving awards for costumes also. The DSB is holding their annual fall festival at Eventide on November 11th. I think you can get tickets at Eventide. You also can get them at Nova, correct? You can, yeah, and I also have some, so if anyone wants to buy tickets, let me know. We're stopping in one of the places I just mentioned. It's an extremely good cause. They give money to the library. It's part of the proceeds, so it's a lot of fun. I've gone every year except for last year because the original date got rained out and I wasn't able to make the makeup date, but I'm definitely going this year, and it really is a lot of fun. It's moving from Beach Walk to Eventide this year. The McLuhans have been very gracious in bringing it over there. They don't own Beach Walk anymore, so that's my understanding as to why it's moving. And then the last thing, I put this on Facebook today, but if anyone knows anyone who, I think people know there was an incident in Rumson where someone took their own life, and we're trying to get the word out, the crisis hotline. If anyone needs help or knows anyone needs help, you can just text 741-741 into your phone if you don't want to talk to someone, and someone will text back to you, a crisis counselor. And it's a very successful service because a lot of people don't want to get on the phone. They don't want to talk, especially kids. They're just so used to texting nowadays. So try to spread the word on that. 741-741 is the number. And apparently you text it and someone gets right back to you, a crisis counselor. So other than that, progress.
What's the date at
the Fall Festival?
Yes.
November 11th at Eventide. But you got to buy your tickets. There are only 150 tickets. And my understanding is that they are selling well. So if you need one, Jack, let me know, and I'll get you a ticket. Okay?
This guy, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have Public Safety, Education, and Library, chaired by Councilman Rick.
First on the library, we had our organ recital on Saturday, and it was pretty successful. We had over 40 people there, and I just wanted to say thanks to Capullo's Bakery and Richard's Deli and Strober's Deli for donating all the food. They basically fed everybody. Don Carolina does a great job on the organ, putting that whole thing together, handing out a brochure, kind of like let you know what's going on, what he's playing. He does a really nice job, and I think the biggest thing is that we're getting ready for our new library, and people are excited. You know, I explain to them where the building is, they take a look at it, tell them we're going to have an elevator, and I think what we're trying to accomplish with these organ recitals is happening. You know, we're getting a good turnout, and I think the big thing is that we want people to know about our new library. Public safety, I would say progress, and education, we're on it. You know, a lot of stuff unfortunately happens, I would say, behind the scenes a little bit, because you don't want to really let everybody know exactly what's going on. It's sort of like a poker game, but we are working very hard on the education situation. And other than that, progress.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have Public Works, Building Department, Code Enforcement, chaired by Councilman Rooney. Chaired by Councilman
Birdsong. Sorry.
He can take over. Let me take that one over.
Obviously, Public Works has been very busy these the past couple months with all the projects going on. They're helping kind of oversee some of those projects, not really hands-on on those projects, but they're helping out where they can. Obviously, you see there's a lot of contractor activity in the parking lot, the municipal parking lot over on it's in the center of town, going on with the Beach Pavilion, plus the seawall project that's happening. There's a lot of staging and setup over there. So just be aware and watch for the trucks and cars and everything moving in and out. Seawall repair is ongoing, as a few folks have already said. And obviously, for obvious reasons, stay away from that as well. The DOT has been repairing a stormwater drainage system on Ocean Avenue over here off Surf Street. That's been ongoing for the past 3 weeks. They should be finishing that up sometime tomorrow, I'm told. So hopefully that'll be completed, and then within, I think, next Wednesday, we're set to get, Ocean Avenue is set to get started with the repaving. So DOT's going to come in and start repaving, I believe. It's right next Wednesday, Chief.
Yeah, and I think Claire can give us an update on that.
Claire?
The DOT is scheduled to start paving tomorrow night at 8 p.m. I believe that will be contingent upon the status of the pipe repairs ongoing. Do you want me to elaborate on the other?
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Oh, no, that's fine. This is all drilled into my brain. That paving project runs from Sunrise Way to Rumson Bridge, the paving that's happening tomorrow, and that is a 3-inch mill and 3-inch overlay. The existing striping that exists today is going to be replaced in kind. There's a future project that does not have a scheduled date yet. I've just been told by the DOT that it is a few years out. That is paving a 3-inch mill and overlay from Long Branch to the Rumson Bridge. In Seabright, it will only be a 1-inch mill and overlay because they are paving this week. And that project will incorporate the streetscape, striping, any of the crosswalks, and the parking associated with the downtown area.
So if we thought it was going to be happening in the spring, we learned today that it's really not.
It's going to be a couple of years out. So that's why they're coming now.
Yes.
That didn't make any sense.
No, I'm glad they're...
I'm glad they're coming now.
It's such bad shape.
Well, it's good to know that in a couple of years we'll get another...
They're probably waiting for the bridge.
Fresh. I don't know. Probably, possibly.
No, the bridge is 20 next year.
Wait, what's the fuck they said, like 2020?
2020, I thought.
Yeah, the bridge.
2018 is the first year funding becomes available.
Yeah, well, originally they said 2018 something would happen.
Yeah, 2018 is the first year they get money. Doesn't mean that they're actually starting construction. That's
gotcha. Okay.
Now they get money, so they can pay for the designs and the testing.
I guess that's good though, because we get 2 years out of the paving that they're going to do now, so.
And then we'll get
new paving.
I just want to add that Claire and T&M have been asking at least a dozen times of what the new striping plan will look like.
And we can't get
it. We have not gotten an answer.
That's a little concerning.
At least a dozen times.
And then, Claire, one of the other things that we talked about that we would like to incorporate into the next phase of paving is possibly widening. Fran knows, widening that lane, the stacking lane, as you go south on Ocean Avenue to turn west onto the Rumson Bridge. Even if it means removing some of the sidewalk of the Anchorage Park, I think there's a willingness on the Borough Council to do that.
Oh yeah, that would be big.
We want to widen, we want to try to get its own stacking lane there.
Okay.
So we just want to make sure we keep mentioning that in our discussions with DOT.
But that's going to be with the county bridge, right?
Well, the bridge design does incorporate the wider lane.
But so you want to do this before that?
Well, just in case.
Yeah, no.
In case DOT comes back paving before that, we might as well. I just don't want it to slip off the radar.
No, I agree. Just one question. The current crosswalks and everything, that's all going to be put back in?
Yes. Okay. Everything that's there now is going to be replaced in kind.
We've kind of asked for two two corrections to that. One at, John, is it Sunrise?
One's at Via Ripa, which was previously a crosswalk. We're going to put that one back in.
Yay!
Separate from all this.
Fantastic.
And I sent a letter to the DOT requesting to change it 1500. They said it shouldn't be a problem, but they want to come out and look at it first.
We want to just change the crosswalk that's at Sunrise. It's on the southern corner. We'd like to change it to the northern corner because that's where our public access is. So nobody really walks to this. They just go across the street to the public access. And we hope they honor those.
Are they going to do that now or are they going to wait 2 years?
They told me they're going to do Via Ripa as soon as they can. But this would require going to a mid-block. So there may be some type of engineering going on with it. Like I said, we would definitely look into it. Probably take care of it, but we didn't give you a definite answer.
Okay.
I will add on to that, there is another DOT project slated for the fall of 2018. It's not a pavement mill and overlay, it's a pavement preservation project in which they're going to do a slurry seal, chip seal, and cap seal. And that runs from the Rumson Bridge past the Highlands Bridge into Middletown. So that may include some striping that needs to be redone, and possibly I can add that into future correspondence to confirm that if the Ariba is, if the crosswalk is, it will be done with that project.
Is that basically sealing the surface?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you. And then the bulkhead replacement on River Street is going to be complete, is technically completed, quote unquote. They have the asphalt done at the end of the street. They capped the capped the bulkhead. They got a new ductile valve on the drainage pipe. It's just a few small punch lifts items that need to be addressed, but it's pretty much finished at this point. Let's see. DPW hired, the township hired a construction company to put up a chain link fence around 14 East New Street due to the condition of the building. That was done on October 16th. October 9th, DPW, thanks to Brian, went ahead and started.
Oh, okay.
October 9th, thanks to Brian, DPW went out and started decorations for fall at Brian's request. So they took, you know, started putting mums and stuff out and all that other stuff for the fall stuff. And that was Brian's request. So other than that, let's see, as far as the building permit stuff go, we have 21 new permits, 6 permit updates, 1 new building, 1 addition, 24 rehabs, and 1 demo for a grand total of $431,000 plus total costs. So, a lot of stuff going on. Other than that, progress.
Thank you, Ken. I have Seabright Recovery, Capital Plan, Flood Control, Beautification, chaired by Councilman Clark.
The Beach Pavilion construction is ongoing, and it's still on schedule and under budget. The borough received the final plans for the municipal building from our borough architect, completed them, submitted them to us, and also to the review architect. So they shared, the plans are shared with departments, and also is currently under review. So we called the review architect, just like with the beach building, just to look for any possible improvements or cost savings in the completed plans as they are. And then we in borough architect can review those suggestions if there are any, and then after that, the project goes ahead. Stuff from that progress.
We did mention that we had a good meeting with the firemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We met the firemen. They've been, you know, they've had concerns all along. They always put this build to be done in a timely fashion, like we all do. But also, they want to make sure they have all their equipment, all the layouts. Because they have a lot of needs, just as the police do. So we did sit down. Along with Frank Lawrence, with some of the firefighters, just to go over the plans in greater detail, and they feel pretty comfortable with everything as is, and they're obviously looking forward to having the bids come back and get the building constructed. So we're still planning on going to construction by year end. Anything else, Charlie? Anything from the meeting?
No, I just think that it was great. I mean, we're all working hard. I mean, you know, to get it together. I guess that was a really good meeting.
I know it takes a lot of your time to do these meetings, but
yeah,
it's
really important
to just keep the lines of communication open, particularly with our volunteer departments, so that they, you know, really feel like they're part of the process every step of the way.
And also, we hope once the project goes out, we're lucky enough with the Beach Pavilion for the lowest qualified bid to come in under budget. We hope the same will happen with the municipal building, but we won't know until that happens. So we'll know within a month. And once that goes forward, then we get out of the way.
Councilor?
Sure.
Finally, I don't really have any, too much to add in terms of reports. We had a request at our last meeting relating to Island View Way to look at some of the drainage issues there. And I know Joe and the DPW went out and took a look at it. And so we're waiting on our report back there. You know, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be looking at the five-year anniversary of when Superstorm Sandy kind of rearranged our future. So just as a kind of context for what's been going on here in the last 5 years, consider that in terms of demolished properties, 69 residential properties were demolished, 8 commercial, 3 municipal. 92 houses were lifted so far, 10 are in progress right now. 38 new homes were constructed, 11 in progress right now. 7 new commercial properties were completed, and 3 new commercial properties are in progress. I mean, just consider that volume of building and rebuilding in Seabright. And we always kind of were the poster child for risk, you know, anytime somebody talks about storms or flooding, of course, you know, the bird always mentions Seabright. And one of the things that I think one of the reasons why Seabright hits everybody's radar is because of this condition known as a repetitive loss property. That's when multiple claims or flood insurance claims are put in on a property. So one of the things we've been really working to do is to mitigate the risk and try to lessen the number of repetitive loss properties. So as of this time, we have 45 properties that we are requesting to be removed from the repetitive properties list. So in terms of our metrics and our recovery, particularly when I look around at some other communities that were hard hit by Sandy and also other storms, it looks very robust. So I know it's been, we've had our day-to-day struggles and butting of heads and different opinions on how to go forward. But when you take a step back and you look at it from the 30,000 foot view, I think it's a very encouraging present and a more prepared and resilient future for us. So I'd like to just really thank the people who work for the borough, our police chief, our building staff, our DPW, our administrator, our lawyer, really everybody. It's been a tremendous team effort. Also, the elected officials, you know, you're all volunteers. The only thing you get for giving your time here is a headache. So, no, really just say thank you to you, and mostly I think it's due to the tremendous spirit of our community and the people who live here. So, go Seabright.
Thank you.
Yeah. Same to you.
We have a,
I mean that, same.
We have a list for an executive session on our agenda. Do we need it?
I have one quick item, famous last words, personnel.
Okay, so we have to adjourn to a closed session to deal with a personnel item. We're going to return to adjourn the meeting with no formal action to be taken.
Motion to go into executive.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Chris.